And let's admit it, how many times in church have we said, you know, the pastor should really do something about that? Isn't it easy to come up with ideas for someone else to do? Isn't that easy? And Jesus, in his usual fashion, is pretty direct as he spoke to them. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Don't you just love Jesus? Doesn't he have just the right way to say that? They don't need to do anything. You. That's right. You need to do something. There's a song by a contemporary Christian artist called Matthew West, and it's a song titled "Do Something." And the lyrics go something like this. Well, they don't go something like this. They do go like this. "I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now, thought how'd we'd ever get so far down and how it's ever going to turn around. So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you." Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "You need to do something." I mean, after all, these are the disciples of Christ. They should know that they are traveling with a man who can do miracles. And instead of going to Jesus saying, "What can we do, Lord? Give us instructions. Tell us what to do." They tell Jesus, right? "Jesus, you need to do something here. Send them away. Make them go away. Don't make us do any extra work." When all along, the disciples had the power of the Son of God with them. They're traveling around with the Son of God. The guy who can walk on water. The guy who can heal sick. The guy who can cast out demons. The guy who's so powerful that when the lady reached out and just touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. And what do they want to do? Shift the problem somewhere else. But you know, we have the power of the Son of God with us today. And often churches make excuses like the disciples. In verse 17 they go, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. In some of the other accounts, they actually said, "Jesus, do you know how much money it would cost to go out and buy food for all these people? We could spend a year's wages and not even give people a snack." They're saying, "Nice try, Jesus. You could try to put this back on us, but we don't have the resources." And have you ever thought, "I'm just one person, what can I do? I have limited resources, what can I do? I'm not that educated, I don't know the Bible, I don't know this. God, I don't talk very well, I'm not good in front of people, you know that, right? Don't we have a lot of excuses not to do what God has called us to do?" Or even when we think about our church, have we ever said, "Well, we don't really have a lot of people, what can we do? We have limited resources, what can we do?" Let's consider this passage from Mark 12. Verse 41, "Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on.'" You see, Jesus isn't concerned about what small resources we have. What he is concerned about is what are we willing to do with those resources in his name. I don't care if your resources are small, give. I don't care if your resources are small, be obedient. From Matthew 25, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. See, it isn't for us to decide the mission. And it's not about us determining the worthiness of the mission or the worthiness of the people. Right? Ever thought to yourself, boy, if I give that guy money, he's just going to drink it away. Do you know those people, they don't really need clothes. They got a new gaming system in the house. And they signed up for free stuff. We ever said that? It's not for us to decide the mission. It's not for us to determine the worthiness of the people. And it's not for us to determine if we have the resources. Because if God calls us to a mission, God will provide the resources. After all, he is the God of multiplication, isn't he? The disciples said, you want us to feed the people? We don't have the resources. He said, that's not what I said. He said, I said, feed the people. He knew what resources they had, didn't he? But he also knew the power of what he has. And going back to the story, the disciples made those excuses of only having a few things. In verse 18, Jesus says, bring them to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. And he broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were all satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And Jesus told his disciples to bring what they have. I don't care if it's small. I don't care if it's limited. Give to me what you have. Give me your resources. We cannot hold back from God. We need to give them to God. And Jesus demonstrated to them how we should treat the resources we collect. First, we need to give thanks to God for what resources we do have. Jesus held them up and said, thank you, God, for the resources that you've given us. And he offered them to God. And then the third thing we need to do is be obedient to use the resources that God tells us to do. And when we trust God with our resources, when we act obediently, we will see that he is a God of multiplication. His will and his power add to what we are doing. And if we do it in the name of God, in full obedience, we will accomplish more than we could ever imagine. We've read this before, John 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus is telling us that whoever believes in him, whoever is obedient and offers themselves fully to God, has the ability to do the things that Jesus did and even greater things than he has done. People, we are supposed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit through our faith to accomplish miraculous things. In another story, Matthew 17 records that the disciples had failed to heal a young man. And the young man is brought to Jesus, who does heal the boy. And afterwards, the disciples ask Jesus, they say, "Why were we not able to perform that miracle?" In Matthew 17:20, he replies, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have the faith, true faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And when Jesus uses words like, "if you believe in me," or "if you have faith," he isn't talking about these words in the way that we casually use them, right? "Oh, I believe this building's going to stay standing for a few more years," right? We use that casually. But he isn't talking about these words that way. He's talking about an all-in kind of belief. Jesus was talking about a deep-rooted, unshakable faith. He was talking about the kind of faith and belief that makes us surrender completely to him. He was talking about the kind of faith and belief that's devoted to prayer, devoted to his teachings, devoted to serving him. He was talking about the kind of faith and belief to know that if God tells us to do something and we respond accordingly, that he is a God of miracles and he will use us to accomplish all he has asked us to do. If God calls us and we act obediently, he is a God of miracles and he will give us what we need to accomplish that miracle. I've told the story in here several times. God called me to be a pastor. And one of the very first schools I had to go to was a school that I had to pay $300 out of pocket for. And at the time, my wife and I were a young couple. I had just gotten off a deployment and we had some debt. We had two houses because our first house didn't sell for over a year. So we were paying two mortgages. We didn't have a lot of money. There was $300 sitting in the bank. But there was also a mortgage payment due. There was also an electric bill due. There were other things to do. And we prayed about it. And my wife said, "If that's what God wants you to do, then we'll write the check." And the very next week, I got a card in the mail. It said, "Dear Carla and Scott, we see all the work you do in this church," because we were just laity. But we volunteered for ushering. We volunteered for VBS. Whatever it was. If there was something to volunteer for, choir, whatever, we were in it. We didn't have a lot of money to give, but we had time and we gave our time and our effort and our skills. And they said, "We appreciate all the things that you do that you don't get paid for. God put it on my heart to give you this gift card to Myers for $300. And it was anonymous. They never signed their name. I don't know to this day who it came from. But do you see how God acts? Somebody else was obedient, that God poked it on their heart to go out. They had the resources to go out and buy a $300 gift card to Meijer. I needed $300. I said, "God, my resources are small, but I'm going to use them for you." And what did God do? God responded. He told the disciples, you do it. You gather your resources. This is how you offer them to God. This is how he will add his blessing to them. And you will accomplish great things. And here in this church, we need to continue making that turn of faith. We need to continue to believe that God has great things planned for us. I know we're not a mega church. You know, I go to meetings with the school system and everything. And they might say, yeah, we need some backpacks for kids. And Crossroads goes 200 of them there Monday. Oh, we have some kids that don't have shoes. Whitewater Crossing goes 300 of them. We'll have them at the school next week. And I go, we can collect crayons. I know we're not a mega church. But just because we're not a mega church does not mean we cannot have a mega impact for God. Think about this. A handful of faithful men and women were in the upper room after Jesus ascended. And through the power, the Holy Spirit descended on them. And they began to spread God's word in and around Jerusalem. We're talking a handful of people. And within 300 years... Christianity had become the religion of the great Roman Empire and beyond. Christianity had spread as far as the East Indies, all the way out to the shores of Spain. That's not a very long time. And it started with a handful of people. Now, if you read church history, things didn't always go well after that. We had a lot of ups and downs. But throughout the ups and downs of Christianity, we have stories of people having revival, great revivals in the life of the church. We have periods of times when people return to God in obedience, and through the Holy Spirit, they experience great miracles, and they see God's church grow. And for way too long, the church in America has been in a sharp decline. But what have we been seeing lately? I mean, last month down in Asbury in Kentucky, if you were following the news, which wasn't widely covered, but if you did get to see it, they had a great revival. And guess what? Even today, revivals are popping up in college campuses in Texas and all over the country. And I know even here, some of you who have felt the stirring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is calling us to have a revival here. A revival here. And we don't, and we're full of excuses though, aren't we? When I talk to people about things, I dream about things I think God is leading us to do, then he wants this and he wants that and he needs us to do this. I've heard people use the age of this congregation as an excuse. We're too old to do this or to do that. We don't have the energy to do this anymore. God called Abraham and Sarah when they were in their 90s. God came to Moses in the burning bush when he was in his 80s. We can't wait around for someone else to do what needs to be done. We can't say we don't have enough education. We can't say we don't speak well. We can't say anything. We gotta quit making excuses. We need to be a people who are wholly committed to God. We need to have genuine faith that he isn't done with us. We need to have the faith that God can do great and mighty things through us if we are willing to say, I am thine, O Lord. And some of you have some great resources. Some of you have resources that I wish I had, and I'm not talking about money. And that's the resource of time. Some of you have a lot of time. Time you can use in prayer, phone calls, ministry, all kinds of stuff. Time is a premium in my house. If we didn't have a Google Calendar, I'd go insane. But we need to stop making excuses, whatever they are. It doesn't matter we're a little church in this community. It doesn't matter if we're an older congregation. We need to stop making excuses and turn to the Lord, who is a God of multiplication. And I've said it 100 times, if not 1,000 times in this church. God has great things waiting for us. But we have to be obedient. And we have to claim what God has for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's easy for us to sit back and to say, what can I do? But Lord, you have told us that you will empower us, that through your hand of blessing, that you will multiply what we do in amazing ways. And Lord, whatever it is and whatever direction that you lead us, may we be obedient to gather our resources. May we be obedient to give thanks and honor to you and to turn them over to you and trust you. That when we act in faithful obedience to you, that you will give us all that we need. And even in this story shows us you give us more than we need. You'll give us in abundance. Lord, let us be open to your Holy Spirit. Let us respond obediently. May we continue to grow to be the church you have called us to be. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Each and every day, you have an opportunity to be the miracle for somebody else. can't tell you how or when that's going to happen, but every day you have the opportunity to be the miracle for somebody else. It could be through the simplicity of a phone call, a friendship, sharing a meal, giving something of yourself, or God may be calling you to do even higher planes of things. But whatever it is, just say yes to God. God says, take that 20 out and give it to somebody you don't even know, do it. God tells you to buy that meal for the person in front of you or the person behind you, just do it. You don't know what kind of miracle you're going to be for somebody else. Somebody sent a card with a gift card that became my miracle. Let us leave here as obedient children of God, willing to serve him, willing to allow him to work through us to be the mighty and powerful people of miracles. And all of it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.